It's certainly great to see everyone here today. If you're visiting with us, please know you are special to us, and we're encouraged to have you with us today. But to our members as well, thank you very much for being a part. It is a holiday week. Our schools are out, and so certainly we have folks that have gone off with their families and such, and that's a good thing too. We look forward to their return to us as well. We do want you to know that we are in a new theme this year, if you haven't been with us yet. Our theme is Renew. And as was mentioned earlier, it's kind of catching on. I heard someone talking about renewing in a Bible class. And, of course, we heard it in our prayers today. We heard it as we think about Jesus Christ and the sacrifice He made. I hope that this theme will be something that is in the forefront of your mind. I hope that every day as we have a new opportunity to take up our cross and follow Jesus, I pray that we will be able to do that in a way that will be well-pleasing in your sight. We certainly have a mindset that we must be like Jesus every day. That has to be our mindset as Christians. That has to be something that we are willing to do, something that we long to do, that we look forward to doing, is being like Jesus every day. It reminds me, though, of like when we tell our children to do something, hey, can you take out the trash? When you want me to do that? Or then we might say, hey, I want you to go clean your room. Well, when do you want me to go clean my room? Like right now? You know, that's kind of the mindset. You know, you hear children do that, and so it's the same thing. We think about renew. Well, when do you want me to do that, God? When do you want me to be a new me? When do you want me to take up my cross? When do you want me to be refreshed? When do you want me to be excited about evangelism? When do you want me to be excited about Bible class? When do you want me to be excited about worship? Well, obviously, God wants us to do it right now. Okay, this is not something He wants us to put off, right? He doesn't want us to do it next week. He doesn't want us to do it next year. He wants us to do it right now. And so when I think about that, I think about the disciples. When Jesus called them to be disciples, at least one version says that they did it at once. Most versions we have will say immediately. It's the same word. It's the same thought process. When do you want me to follow you, Jesus? Next week? Next month? Next year? No, I want you to do it right now. And so, as we study this morning, I want you to think about this section of Scripture, the one that Carl read to us just a moment ago. Let's look at Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 23 together. Matthew chapter 4, this is what's going on in the life of Jesus. He has been baptized by John. Now, if we're going to follow Jesus, we got to follow Him to baptism, right? Now, Jesus was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. We're baptized to contact His blood and receive remission of sins. It's also the right thing to do in the sight of God. But Jesus also then went out and He was tempted by Satan. Satan, don't think that Satan's not going to come after you and come after me. He come after Jesus Christ. And so Jesus, even though He resisted those temptations and many more temptations of Satan, He recognized also that He needed a team. Because He is laying a foundation of changing the world. And that foundation is not to take away and destroy the old law, but it's to bring in a new law. And that is the law of Christ, the law of liberty, the law of love, the law of grace that Jesus is going to bring in. He's going to crucify that old law to the cross, and He's going to, upon His death and resurrection, of course, it will bring in the new law of love. And so while doing that, He needs somebody that will be able to take that message and run with it. And that happened to be His disciples who became apostles. Well, here, after the temptation of Satan, at least on this occasion, we pick up in verse 12 where it reads, "Now when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, He departed to Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, He came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, let's pause right there. That word repent obviously means to turn away. If I'm going this way, then I'm going to turn and go the opposite way. It's making a 180-degree turn. It's not a 360 because that'll just put us right back where we were. So it's a 180-degree turn from where we were. He's saying, I want you to get right. I want you to be renewed. I want you to be refreshed. I want you to repent. I want you to be right. Why? Because the kingdom is at hand. Now that kingdom is the church that we know today. And of course, he was setting and building the foundation of the kingdom that we are able to be a part of today. And that message needed to be taken everywhere. And that message needed to be fulfilled. And then that building, that spiritual building needed to take place so that he could have these disciples. And so that's his mission now. As we pick up in verse 18, Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. He said to them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. They immediately, or at once, left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately, or at once, they left the boat and their father and followed him. To me, that's a powerful story. And we've heard it since we were children, if we grew up in the church, or maybe we're hearing this maybe for the first time, or we're just getting a little more familiar with it. But if you think about whether we heard it as little children or we're hearing it now, or we've heard it maybe our entire lives, to me it's still a very powerful story because there's a lot to what they're doing. Now, when we read through it, we go through it and that's it. But I really want to focus today. If you want to follow Jesus Christ, and everybody that's here does, if we want to follow Jesus Christ, ultimately, he's at the right hand of God. That's where I want to be. I want to be in the presence of God. And so if I'm going to follow Jesus all the way to heaven, then there's some things I need to look at. And I need to change. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Not next month. But immediately. Right now. Today. You see, I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. I'm not guaranteed tonight, I'm not guaranteed next week, I'm not guaranteed next month, but I have this hour right now. And what is this time? It's a time of examination, trying to find out who we are. I'm trying to challenge you, I'm trying to challenge myself, and I'm trying to challenge us to go into the world and teach this message of renewal. But in order to do that, there's some decisions that have to be made. We've got to weigh the cost. And so, what I want to look at as I don't remember, there we are. I want to ask the question, what made them want to follow at all? Now see, John had been doing a lot of things. Let's understand the reality, right? John had been going everywhere. What was his job? To prepare the way for Jesus Christ. And so he had gone and he had probably laid some foundation, right? The way I look at it is if you want to clear a path in a road, let's say there's a road that's overgrown and you've got machetes and you've got other equipment, you got to go in there and you got to chop and you got to clear and you got to get it ready so that that road can be passed by. Well, it's the same way. Jesus or John had to come and get through that brood of vipers, if you will, as he called them, and say, hey, there's one coming who I'm not worthy to even buckle the straps on his sandals. He is something special. He is the Messiah. And I want you to get ready. Well, see, today we're modern day John the Baptist, if you will, because our duty today is to get people ready for the return of Jesus Christ. And so in order to do that, there's some things that had to be done. And I'm sure that he laid a foundation that perhaps that Andrew and Peter and John and James probably all heard. so when they see Jesus, this is probably not the first time they've ever seen Him in their lives, okay? I want us to grant that. But I want you to think about, there had to be something going on, because Jesus didn't do anything that it wasn't at the right time. In fact, Jesus came to this earth at just the right time. And so He went to these guys at just the right time. So there has to be something today. If you're not where you need to be, if you're not living the way you need to be, if you haven't renewed your relationship with God this year, if you haven't renewed your relationship with God today, see, renewal is not something we do once. I try to renew myself every day. I try to relook at what I did wrong yesterday and what I can do better today. And if we do that every day, then if we're honest with ourselves, some of us might be uncomfortable where we are spiritually. And that's okay, because we have right now. We have this immediate moment together today. But Jesus will knock on the door all the time, but that knocking seems loudest when things are hurting the most in our lives, when we're struggling the most. Well, I want to invite you into the minds of Peter and Andrew and James and John, and I'm just speculating just like you. I'm reading into it just like you are. I can't get into their minds, but I want us to kind of reflect on why they at once or immediately left what they were doing and followed Jesus. To make them want to follow at all, perhaps there was a void in their lives. I want you to think about where they were. Put yourselves in their shoes. What they did was really hard work. Now, I know that some of us may sit there and think, fishing for a living, that'd be pretty good, but not if the fish aren't biting. Okay? When it becomes a job and it becomes something, I'm not talking about the guys that are fishing bass tournaments that have sponsors and $1 million sponsors. I'm talking about the guys that are out there and they're gone for months and months and months at a time. That's kind of what I picture these guys. They went to this and it was hard work. They didn't have multi-million-dollar sponsors and multi-million-dollar boats and nets and things, and they had to work real hard. If they got a tear in their net, it shut them down, and that was a big deal. And so maybe it's been a bad day, because it appears that Andrew and Peter here, they were casting and not catching. There's a big difference, right? They don't call it catching, they call it fishing, right? And so they had cast their nets, and they didn't find Jesus cleaning or selling a mess of fish. They're there and they're casting, and it doesn't appear that they're doing a lot of good. And so maybe they're sitting there thinking, hey, there's a huge void in my life. Maybe Peter's thinking, man, if I could find something to do tomorrow, I'd leave. Right, and something came my way, I'd go. Maybe Andrew's thinking the same thing. You know, maybe there's that huge void. Maybe they didn't feel complete. Maybe they didn't feel satisfied. Maybe in their current jobs, in their current lives, there was something missing. Is that us today? Why did you decide to follow Jesus? Why did you decide at the moment you did to leave whatever behind and follow Him? By the way, some have left their families behind. Some have left other jobs. Some have left friends. Some have left relationships. This is a big deal that still happens today. And so what was it? Chances are maybe there was a void. Maybe there was something that was missing that you knew there was something greater out there. And well, today, I want you to think in the minds of Andrew and Peter right here specifically. Perhaps there was a void, but what else could it have been? What else would make them leave exactly what they were doing? Maybe it was because they looked for a different viewpoint. James and John, let's get to them. You know what they're doing? They're mending their nets. That means they've got to repair them. Now again, if something broke, if something went wrong, if something snagged those nets and tore them open, you couldn't just say, hey, here's my backup, because I got a backup to my backup to my backup. They had this set of nets and they've got to get them fixed, because somebody else is out there catching their fish. It's a job. And maybe, and listen, they're with their dad, right? They're with their father, and father may be barking orders. Zebedee may be saying, get it done, get it done, get it done. And they're sitting there thinking, boy, I wish I was doing something different right now. I wish I had a different viewpoint. I wish I had a different outlook on life. Maybe they're tired of mending, tired of struggling, tired of cursing those nets. Maybe their days, their lives are filled with struggle. And they just want a new outlook on life. But then there's maybe a third reason. Maybe they're just looking for a victory. You know, you think about today, man, there's a lot of defeat around us. We get bad news at the doctor. We get bad news when we go home. We get bad news on our report cards. We get bad news because the economy or the jobs or whatever, all kinds of things. And you think, man, I just need a win. I need a victory. You see, to me, it seems that Jesus caught Peter, no pun intended, I guess. He caught Peter, Andrew, James, and John all needing a win. I didn't read in Matthew 4 there that they were the happiest days of their lives. Perhaps that's why they went immediately to follow Jesus Christ, because they were looking for hope. They were looking for victory. You see, Jesus called, they followed. They left their nets. They left their past. They left their frustration. They left their failures. And they followed Jesus immediately. So it leads me to my next question. What were they leaving? When you think about what they left, to me, this makes an even bigger impact. Some of it was easy. Some of it was hard. But here's what they left. Number one, they left a fractured job. Again, they were casting. They were not catching. They were mending. They were not making money. You see, when you have a livelihood that's fractured, it makes it easier. But here's the thing. They were still going to leave their livelihood. Jesus' disciples didn't get wealthy. They did not make a lot of money. Matthew left a lucrative job to follow Jesus Christ. So who was this man? Yes, they're leaving a fractured job. Even though it was a source of income, it wasn't a fun, enjoyable moment. At least it appears to me in their lives. You see, when the world out there is saying, when you decide to follow Jesus, you're going to be miserable, I want to tear that stereotype away. Because following Jesus Christ brings hope, it brings opportunity, and it means, yeah, I might be in a fractured job, I might be in a fractured relationship or a fractured job or a life, but when I follow Jesus, He's going to make me whole. And that's what Peter and Andrew and James and John saw. They're leaving behind a fractured job, a fractured life perhaps, to have a whole life with Jesus Christ. They also left a frustrating future. What they were going to do was hard work, no doubt about it. But following Jesus was also going to be hard work. You think about what they were going to have to do. Jesus told them. He said, you're going to suffer. He told Ananias when Paul was going to follow, He said, I will show him the things. He must suffer. They were going to hurt. They were going to struggle. They were going to be in need. But the rate they were going by fishing all the time, they were just going to be frustrated. You see, Jesus was going to be the path that they followed, and it was going to be hard work, but their future, their retirement, was going to be unbelievable. And then finally, at least two of them were leaving a father's fortune. What do you mean, Terry? Well, if you go back to John and James and John, they were the sons of Zebedee. Zebedee's on the boat. If you look at Mark's account of it in Mark 1, they also had hired servants on the boat. It appears to me, at least, that Zebedee had done well in this profession. In order to have hired servants, you had to be of a wealthy standpoint back then. And so here's Zebedee. He's on this boat with his children, and they've got the future, and they're going to be Zebedee's fishing future or whatever. And so here, James and John, they're not necessarily in the situation it appears that Andrew and Peter are. But they were still willing to leave. That future that they had with Zebedee, it paled in comparison for the fortune that Jesus had for them. So how do we relate that to us? You know, I don't know why people wait. I think the most frustrating thing to me as a minister, whether I was a youth minister or as a preaching minister today, is people delaying. Why would you wait? You know, and there may be a lot of reasons that we could get into today, but I want you to think about Peter and James and Andrew and John. And I want you to think about that they didn't hesitate. Even though they had fractured jobs and a frustrating future, and some even had a father's fortune, they were willing to leave it all at once. Some was easier to leave than others. But in order to do that, they had to get rid of some things. They had to get rid of some past. Those nets represented their past. Those nets represented some burdens. Those nets represented some struggles. Well, today I would guess that if you're trying to follow Jesus, you've got some baggage. Hey, we all do. I've said this before. We all have a past. We all have skeletons in the closet. Some of those, closets may be bigger than others, right? Some may have more things stacked up than others. Some may have double bags and some may have triple bags and all. But we all have baggage. We all have a past. We all have things that we're not proud of, but here's the beauty behind it, is if we are in that situation, we can leave the past at once and follow after the one who holds our future. Maybe they're burdens. You know, I'd love to sit here and tell you, and everybody that comes to me and wants counseling and everybody that's struggling and everybody that's going through everything, I'm a fixer. I've always been a fixer. I don't know if it's just because I'm the baby of my family and that's the path that I had, but I always wanted to fix any kind of fighting, any kind of fussing, any kind of thing. And when somebody's relationship goes wrong, I want to fix that. And I want to be able to have an answer and the right words and the perfect words and all that. But I'm just going to confess to you that I don't have all that. And I don't know that anybody on the planet does. So you know what that means? That means we're all going to have burdens from time to time. You're going to have struggles and I'm going to have struggles. We're going to have things that we go through that it may be a fractured job. It may be a frustrating future. It may be a void. It may be all these things. We need a different outlook, a different viewpoint. We're going to have moments where we're broken. We're all broken people. We have broken lives. We have broken hearts. We have broken futures from time to time. But the one that we can leave it all for, He's the one that can put it all together. He is the one that can take all the fractured pieces and one by one mold it together. We are the clay. He is the potter. And finally, man, we have bad days, don't we? We have bad days. We should have been on the what about us slide, sorry. We have bad days. I'd love to tell you that every day of my life is a great day. Now, I make that my goal. I used to wake up to Don Williams, "Lord, I hope this day is good." Because that's a goal. I want to have a good day. I want to have a great day. And as long as I'm walking in the light as He is in the light, I can, right? I can, but let's be real. we have bad days. But when we're outside of Christ, those days are way worse than those inside of Christ. Sometimes the temporary seems so desirable, doesn't it? Sometimes the temporary seems very desirable. Sometimes people go after the quick fix or the quick income or the quick fun. The nets represented that. Peter's net, John's net, Andrew's net, James' net, they represented the quick fix, if you will. It was their job. It was their responsibility. But the future of letting go and letting God is far greater than any quick fix that we can imagine. You see, when we let go of our past, when we let go of our nets, and I'm not talking about, hey, when I get old, I'm going to let go of this. I'm talking about right now, immediately, at once, when I let go of it, healing begins. You see, burdens were lifted at Calvary. Those nets, again, they didn't leave full nets. They left empty nets to be filled by Jesus Christ. So today, as we challenge ourselves and we get ready to close this and sing a song in just a moment with an opportunity to leave the nets, to leave the past, to leave the baggage, to leave the burden, to leave the bad days, to leave the brokenness. Remember, we're not leaving it and walking to an empty future. We're walking to the Savior of the world who's willing to hold our hands, to guide us along the way. So yes, we need to renew our lives. We need to repent of some sins. We need to respond to the invitation. We need to rededicate our lives to Jesus Christ. Not next week. Not next month. Not when we're old. We need to do it right now. Together, we stand and sing.